Welcome to the Hard Water Fishing Show. Jeff and Jason talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends.
We are alive, Hard Water Fishing Show, Season 3, Episode 5. It is the fourth weekend of January 2020. Today we are on location, Mille Lacs Lake, in the hard-sided ice shack with Jason.
Hi.
And Jason's dad.
Hi.
All right, so we are currently fishing, so this is a brand new thing for the Hard Water Fishing Show. And you might hear some noise or some background things, or if a tip-up goes or a rattle reel, we might have to go catch that.
Although I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, we aren't too worried about it.
We'll get to that in the fishing report.
Exactly, exactly.
Because it hasn't been exactly stellar. But anyway, go ahead, moving on.
All right, so today we are going to be talking about keeping your feet warm. Now, today my feet are going to stay warm because we're in the wheelhouse.
Let me paint you a picture, folks. He's wearing Crocs. With no it's socks. True. With no socks. For what it's worth.
But we are going to delve into keeping your feet warm. If you're cold, you can't fish. You can't enjoy it. You can fish for a while, but eventually you're going to head in. So having warm feet will ensure that you can spend more time in the ice, which ensures more time fishing and more fish.
Theoretically.
But you cannot catch, as we've established in the past, cannot catch fish on land.
Well, not ice fishing.
Not ice fishing.
Yes.
More specifically, when my ice shack is sitting on a quarter mile from the land, you cannot catch a fish.
You cannot catch fish.
All right. So, Jay, what are we drinking today?
In preparation for our trip up here, I stopped at the local Quick Trip before we left Iowa.
Because in Iowa, you can buy beer.
And I went into the vault, and literally the beer vault, or cave, I think, perhaps they called it. And I found a very high quality brew for us, and it's called Steel Reserve. It's the reserve selection of beer. High gravity lager. I don't know what the gravity part is. Maybe because my gravity increases. The way gravity acts upon my body when I drink this increases, maybe when you drink it. I don't know. Makes you fat, maybe.
It says on here. Did you read it?
Oh, do I have to read it? Where does it say?
Read at the bottom there.
The 211 mark, based upon medieval symbol for steel, appears only on Steel Reserve high gravity lager. We use nearly twice the ingredients of many normal lagers and brew over twice as long for many quality beers. Well, there you go.
So it's got 211 on the can, and it's twice as many ingredients.
And it was $6.99 for a 12 pack.
Nice. All right. So unlike normal, I am drinking the same beer as Jason today.
His tastes are coming around. You ready? Okay. Now, Dad didn't want to partake in the beer today, so he's got his favorite beverage. Dad, do you want to tell us about that?
Yes, favorite beverage. Diet Snapple Peach Tea.
Made from the best stuff on earth, no doubt.
No doubt. And it has a nice little symbol of a peach on the front, and I always say I'm having a peachy day.
All right, great. So you can open that for us?
Oh yes.
All right, let's see what that makes any noise.
This was a great price. A little bit more expensive than your beer.
It's more expensive than a beer.
$4.99 for a six pack.
See, I think that's a tough choice for me. Diet peach Snapple or beer? Probably beer.
It's not a tough choice for me.
All right, go ahead and give it an open. All right. Yep, that came on. We've got that. That picked it up. So
awesome. So moving on to Jason's favorite topic, show business. He doesn't like the subject of this, so he has not given me a better name for this section of the show. So show business. Remember to rate and like the show on all platforms. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get podcasts. Your feedback really helps us get found and people find us. So please give us high ratings if you like the show. And put comments on there. The best place to interact with us is on social media, Instagram and Facebook. We also have our website, hardwatershow.com, and a YouTube page that I'm assuming Jason has still not gone to.
I haven't been on it.
Yeah, Jason has not been there, but it does exist.
I'm told.
You can also email us at thehardwatershow@gmail.com. And remember, we read everything, even if we don't mention you. Right, Jay?
We do. And we appreciate the fact, the time you take to send us stuff is pretty cool.
And Jason is our director of media, so.
So direct all complaints to Jeff. he's a supervisor. He'll get right back to you.
All right, Jason, you want to read us through current events and reader news?
A gentleman by the name of Thomas sent us a picture of him catching some nice-sized catfish through the ice.
They were big.
They were. And we'll put that probably up on Facebook or Instagram or something.
Yep.
Does Instagram let you put pictures of catfish on it?
Is there a thing against catfish?
I don't know. They're not like the most, I don't think they're the most beautiful
fish.
You know? Are they photogenic, catfish?
I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Thomas would probably say they are. And he caught them with these little glow spoons with the little glow sticks.
I think they're the Northland ones, right?
Yeah, and could be.
I fished with them this weekend. You put the little stick that you break or kind of snap like a glow stick and you stick it in the lure and you drop it down there.
Yeah.
We've had success with those.
I have several glow spoons with the little that you put them in, but I can't find the sticks anymore.
Oh, I think I'm out. I used some this weekend.
So then there they'll sit. That'll be the last time we ever use those. And then another Thomas suggested that when you get the line twist, you heat some water and stick your reel, the line in the water. Have you done that?
No, so I've gotten two recommendations on this line twist thing because I'm still struggling with it. I want to use fluorocarbon. I've tried one brand, super spoolie, and we'll talk about this a little more in gear. But two people have told me, I guess this comes from Bill Dance. I've seen a Bill Dance video of him putting line on a spool and then heating his tap water up to hot and running the hot water over it to kind of form it to your reel. And that should help with line.
So it doesn't jump off.
Yeah.
Kind of a deal.
And then somebody else, Thomas, the other Thomas, not the first Thomas, he recommended that you boil it or put it in hot water. Maybe not boil it, but put it in hot water to kind of do the same effect, I think. So I'll have to try that out and see if that helps my line twist dilemma.
So, and let's talk about that more in gear, because I have some thoughts on that.
Yeah. For sure.
So we'll go for that. So I think we have a kind of a short reader section. We didn't, we forgot to put a bunch of stuff up there on Facebook about to send us questions. We apologize for that. We'll do better next time, maybe, if we think about it.
Maybe.
Fishing report. Oh my gosh. This is a tale of sad story here. So we've been out here since Friday.
10 p.m. Friday.
Well, you have since 10. We rolled in about 11:30.
I got here at Friday. 8.
You got here at 8. You had some troubles.
I struggled. My ice shack. Well, there's a lot of snow up here, right? This is the first weekend on Mille Lacs that I've been able to get out. Last weekend, there was the big storm we talked about. But I would say this is the first weekend that prime time, no limits on what you tow out here, you can come out and ice fish on Mille Lacs.
Yep.
And you can tell. There's tons of people out here. My ice shack, since like Ole and I were up here in beginning of January, it has been in a snowbank, right? I mean, they plow, but it's it's been in the down position in a snowbank. So I came up here, shoveled for half an hour or so, looked like I could get it out, hooked up the traverse to it, and it was like stuck in, just stuck. So I had to call the resort. So super awesome. Called the resort and said, hey, can't get my shack out. Red Door came out with their 3/4 ton with the thing that hauls the shacks around and just kind of gave her a big yank and popped her out and then towed her out here. So yeah.
Yeah, so you told me you were having problems, so we drove slower.
Yeah.
Gave you a chance to solve those before we arrived.
Yeah, to stop.
And worked out perfect.
You had to stop at the bait shop and do some shopping.
We did. Yeah, we had a sandwich.
Yep.
Looked for a newspaper unsuccessfully.
Oh.
We did that. Stopped and talked to Matt,
my
little brother, for a while. Picked up an extra fish finder for Dad to use. And we were such in a hurry, but we got here about an hour and a half after you got the house set up.
Yep.
So that worked out perfect.
I had holes drilled.
Yeah, holes were drilled.
Lines in the water. I was drinking my beer, enjoying my life.
It's almost full service guide with one exception.
What did I miss out, Jay?
The fish.
Oh. There is that exception.
So, Dad, how many fish have you caught this last day and a half up here. Do you want to help with the fishing report?
Is there anything less than zero?
Yeah, no. Have you? No, none. None. No fish for Dad. Jeff?
I have not caught a fish.
You know, so I have not had the same experience as you guys. I have caught two fish. One, because I woke up first on a rattle reel. You know, that's where my light's sleeping.
You moved the fastest,
I think. I did move the fastest and caught the fish about, which was nice. It was a nice walleye. Almost really? 20, almost 24 inches.
Oh, pretty fish. I mean, nice, it was super awesome.
Beautiful fish. And so I was real happy to catch that and release back down into the wild there.
Yep.
After a quick picture. And then I had to use all my skill and ability to catch, what the heck is that thing?
A white fish?
One of them white fish. Tubalies?
Yep.
They don't have those in Iowa. I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a little white. The white fish. Because they were kept coming up and looking. Yep. And they'd leave, come up and look and leave. And so went through all. I reviewed last week's podcast about jigging techniques. I went through all that. None of that worked. And so then I dug a little further back. And I went to some waxies and a little spoon. And ended up catching that tubalie or white fish or whatever.
So what kind of spoon were you using, Jay?
I was using that was an eyeball jig.
Oh, eyeball jig.
One of the smaller Northland eyeball jigs with some waxies, one waxy in each part of the treble.
And what color?
It was green and yellow.
So that's like it has a round but flat top?
Yep. It's got an eyeball on it.
In the middle, and then it's just a hook.
No, it's really just an eyeball with a hook on it.
It looks
literally just like an eyeball. And on one side, it's green and yellow on the other side.
Northland. Okay.
Northland. If you're out chasing those, that's, I guess, the thing to use.
So I think, I knew that's what there were, those whitefish. Whitefish are interesting because they act so different on your flasher than other fish. But we're out here really targeting walleyes, right? And a walleye, you'll see it on there. It'll stroll in, kind of start out as a little thin green line and maybe get redder and kind of stroll up to your lure and kind of check it out, kind of creep up. A whitefish, you're jigging and you see it, woof, it's in there. And then it's gone.
Yeah, they kind of rock it in and out of your flasher.
If you pull your rod up 2 feet, they come up. Now, this is where it gets really weird. You drop your rod 2 feet down, it'll go down. Walleyes won't go down like that. Not usually.
Not usually, no.
So they're kind of crazy on your thing.
And I caught one.
You did catch one.
How many did you catch of those?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
That happens. It's unfortunate that I'm bragging about two fish, one of which really was just a matter of light sleeping and one which wasn't. So it's been slow, to say the least. And so we've talked to a number of people, and it's just been a slow weekend, I think. I mean, there's like 10,000 people out here. Yeah. So, I mean, some people are catching fish, obviously. And I think Saturday, my little brother Matt was up, and so him and his son were out fishing. And so we never moved the shack, hardside shack, because he was out trying different depths and different spots we had kind of suggested on the map and that he suggested, and he wasn't having any additional luck, so we didn't see a reason to move.
It was really nice of him to do all that hard work for us.
Yeah, we stayed in sweatpants. I did put socks on. Jeff didn't most of the day. And so, you know, so we had a pretty relaxing day.
We also watched that cool show about car racing.
We did watch a car racing show while Netflix. While fishing, watching Netflix. So this is all very strange to me. Sitting on a couch, jigging for fish, watching TV is quite the thing. Dad, have you ever done anything like this before?
No, this would be a first.
Yeah, what do you think of this?
Pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, pretty at least neat. If you're not catching fish, it's comfortable.
That's true.
So
I still can't get over Jeff and his no socks.
Most of us can't.
I got Crocs and no socks.
And then talking about keeping your feet warm.
Yeah, so that's a good topic, huh? We're commiserating with how the other half might live today.
Gosh.
So a fishing report is dismal. We've seen a lot of people come and go over the last couple of days, just kind of bailing out of where we're at anyway. You can catch fish.
Yeah, it was crazy out here. There's so many shacks. I went on the shore I had to wait for like six dual axle ice castles to get on the lake. It was like a traffic jam. You had to like, I felt like we had to like use our turn signal to merge and stuff. It's come pretty over the busy bridge, over here.
A traffic cop to help direct traffic.
I will say though, the resort was super awesome. I got up here, they unstuck my ice shack. We came out in the lake. They plowed me a spot. We have our own little private spot that's pretty far away from everybody else. Very comfortable. Super nice. So
yeah, it's been great.
All right, so Jason, we're going to get into gear. Let's the big gear change I saw, the Helix 5. You used your Matt's Helix 5.
Yeah, so Matt had a Helix 5, and he bought that at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show. And so he's been using that, and he really likes it. I wanted to update people on that. He really likes it. The downside he said he's having a hard time with is when he's out hole hopping, the sun and the screen causes problems. So I just want to note that for people. And then the other thing he noted on the 5, although he likes all the gizmos and gadgets on it, the flasher size is smaller, for example, than like my Ice 55 Hummingbird that has a really big dial on it. So it's just a little harder to read. The other thing I would note is when you borrow one from somebody, be careful about messing with the settings, because somehow I turned off the ice fishing mode just futzing around with it, and it took like 20 minutes to figure out how to get it turned back on.
I know.
He was very unimpressed with that.
Yeah, I was surprised about that. I never thought, and that's what's great about hearing from other people in their gear, because I never thought about the sun thing, right?
Yeah.
And it makes total sense, but you don't think about it. I just think of advancement in technology, and I have this old Ice 35 Hummingbird flasher.
Yeah.
How much better it would be to have the new, you know, new one. But there are some drawbacks to the sun thing, and then the size of the screen. And then when your partner, fishing buddy, takes it out of ice fishing mode,
yeah,
and you're trying to use your flasher.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And then you keep on pressing buttons, and every time you press a button, I can't use my flasher because it lights up the whole thing with all kinds of interference. And you could never keep up with this, right? So I'm fishing and trying to watch my flasher, and all you hear in the back of the ice shack is beep, 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 beep. And every time he does it, my thing goes, so I can't even do the noise interference. It's just like blowing me up.
But you weren't catching fish anyway.
Maybe I would have if I could have seen what was
maybe
down
that
there.
Would have been the 20 minutes of success out of the last 2.5 days.
That was the time. We've all fished when you know there's 20 minutes of the magic hour.
The magic hour. Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. I doubt it. And then, yeah, no, probably not.
We talked about P-line. So I've still been through this fishing line struggle. I don't know what you want to call it.
You've been on the struggle bus.
I've been on the struggle bus. So. Yeah. I had that previous line, the fluorocarbon, 100% fluorocarbon, Trilene Micro Ice Floral. It spools off my line. It's super stiff. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I stopped and got some P-line on the way up because I've been hearing from a lot of people, a lot of our listeners. Jason also is running it. Try this P-line. So I got P-line. It's not a winter line. It's a summer line. P-line InvisiClear, 6 pound, and I believe it's a copolymer, which we've talked about this a long time ago when we talked about fishing line last year.
Somewhere buried in episode or season two is the discussion.
So when we talked about fishing line specifically, we talked about copolymer. And I didn't quite know what copolymer meant. But now that I got this P-line, what it means is it's multi-different kinds of plastic, basically, right? Polymers. So it is coated with fluorocarbon, but something else is in the core. So that's the co or multiple things. I don't know what's in the core, but I've tried it out this weekend. It's better than the ice stuff I had and the twisty. It's still not mono, but it's a little better. I wouldn't say I'm like, hey, go out and buy this stuff, or no, it's horrible. We're going up to Lake of the Woods next weekend. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, so I put 6 pound test P line on two of my reels. And so I guess as far as work sitting inside this ice shack, it works great.
Yep.
So it didn't do anything weird just in this use. And I have a P-Line Fluoro Ice is the name of this. Fluoro Dice, Fluoro Ice, Fluoro Ice. And so I will update everybody, I guess, over next weekend when we're probably going to be doing more outside fishing. And so I'll have more of an opportunity to see what it does in the cold. But it tendencies and characteristics were fine in the ice shack on two different reels at 6 pound test. So I was pretty happy with that.
The interesting thing was that I have the summer version and you have the winter version.
Well, because it's ice fishing, Jeff.
But I'm still not convinced there's a big difference. Besides, maybe they put the word ice on it.
I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to find out, and maybe we'll never get to the bottom. But almost every line has the winter version and the summer version, and I don't know what the difference is.
It's hard to tell. So we'll find out if there is any sort of difference, I guess, as time goes on.
All right. So any other gear stuff you wanted to cover, Jay?
No, I think, you know, we haven't had a lot of different gear updates since our last show. I don't think I've got anything else.
Well, I feel like my fishing season kind of comes in two in two areas. There's the first part of the season that is buying gear because you can't go out fishing. We're into the second part of the season, which is using gear that you bought in the beginning part of the season.
Yeah, I think I was just getting a little bit of a tap on my fishing line here.
Or your minnow is really active. But sometimes they get active when the fish come, right?
I know. I'm hoping we have to take a break so I can reel up a fish.
I don't think we have any minnows in terror.
Oh, they go pretty crazy. I mean, you've got that pickle stick.
Real sensitive rod I got.
It's a noodle rod.
Yeah, noodle. Well, it's a lightweight, not an ultralight.
But that it's got a
very sensitive, yeah. It's got that flat tip to it.
It's got a fast tip.
A fast action tip.
And then the back has a good backbone at the end.
Yeah. Well, that's actually the rod I caught the whitefish on.
Oh, yeah.
And so it did really well with that. So I would have loved to have that big walleye on this rod. That would have been a lot of fun.
We're flying blind a little bit right now. All of our flashers are off because we're recording.
The things we do for our show.
I know. Right now you could tell if you're marking or not.
I know, or if I just had an active minnow, and we'll never know if I never get a fish to bite. So
moving on to our subject, which... ironically, as I sit here in my Crocs, has been mentioned.
Ridiculous.
keeping your feet warm. So, you know, like we said, you can't stay out in the ice if you're not comfortable. If you get cold, you're going to go in. So it's important. It might not seem like, why do I care about my boots or keeping my feet warm? And would that actually help me catch more fish? I would say it does.
I think so. There's three different things that really send me indoors or lower my level of happiness outdoors. Okay. Number one, cold feet.
Yep.
Well, I don't think these are in no particular order. Let me rephrase the
order.
It's
like a top five.
It's like a top three. Okay. Top three. Number one, like one on the list is cold feet, you know, and the next one, other one is hands. When your hands are so cold, they hurt or they burn. And number three is wet underwear.
How does your underwear get wet, Jay?
Well, so if you're ice fishing, let's say you're sitting on the ice or whatever.
Yeah.
But just generally, I'm talking general outdoor experiences. I am in good shape and can handle a lot of adversity. But if my feet are cold, my hands are cold, my underoos are wet, I'm out. I'm heading for the barn.
So how did your underwear get wet? Like somebody tells a good joke and
no, we're not talking about any sort of
bodily
fluids or anything like that. We're talking about like you get fall in the water, it's raining, or you're sitting in the snow or something, and your underoos get wet.
So you're implying because your underwear are wet, your pants are also wet.
Correct.
Because it came through your pants.
Yes, of course.
But you're so like you might be able to tolerate only pants wet.
Yeah, I can handle that.
But if it soaks through your pants to the point where your underwear are wet,
I'm out.
Yeah,
okay. I'm done.
Yeah.
Or cold feet or cold hands.
That makes sense.
Anything else, I can deal.
Okay.
So, there you go.
So, we have this problem. We need to stay out. And I would even say, even if you stay out and your feet are cold, you won't move as much. You won't be as mobile. You'll be like,
unhappy.
I'm cold. I need to stay here.
You're unhappy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, how do we solve this problem, Jay? How do we keep your feet warm so we can stay out there fishing?
I'd call my dad and say, Dad, how do I keep my feet warm?
Okay.
Any ideas?
Put on dry socks.
Dry socks. So that's, I think he brings up a great point. So we talk about this a lot deer hunting, don't we, Dad?
Yes, we do.
Where you're pretty okay throughout the morning and early afternoon, your feet get cold. And keep a pair of dry socks in your pack. And same thing ice fishing. When you're out ice fishing, you know, you might be fine in the morning and your feet start getting cold, you know, late morning, mid, around lunchtime. Right. Change your socks. Put a new pair of socks on. The reason that is that your feet sweat. So especially if you drove to the lake in your car with your boots on and your socks on, your feet are in your boots sweating. And so at some point, those socks become so damp that your feet get cold. So change your darn socks.
So I've already learned something because I've never done this and I always have cold feet.
Change your socks.
Bring an extra pair of socks. It's genius.
Why didn't you ever ask?
Well, I fished with you for how long and you didn't mention this to me? I've deer hunted with both of you. I didn't get this message.
Well, you need to pay attention.
I guess so.
Have you ever noticed, and there's been a number of times you've been with me, like, Jason, you have an extra pair of socks? And I always have extra socks. I always bring, like, 10 pairs of socks for 4 days.
So is this part of the Kilby code that, like, we can't tell him that he should bring an extra pair of socks?
Well, and I think that's why we thought about doing this episode is there are so many different little tricks and reasons to keep your feet dry. and warm. And we were talking earlier as we're getting ready for the episode about boots, right? And I think Sean's the one that or Dave, I forget which person, originally way back in the hard water
early days
of our trip, I had bought one of my first new expensive pair of boots. I bought a pair of Cabela Outfitters boots, and I still have them. And they're 1,000-gram thin slate boots. And my feet were the warmest I've ever been outside for 2 days. Wonderful for 2 days. By day three, I couldn't keep them warm. Day four, they were froze from the morning to the night. And so I mentioned it to Sean. I'm like, these darn boots quit working. And we started talking, you know, he likes to explain things and does a great job. And he explained to me about, I believe it was him, about the pack boots. So he was wearing the Sorrels,
yep,
or the pack boots type boots.
And the brand doesn't matter with pack boots,
no, it doesn't
boots,
matter. Just that removable liner.
Yep.
And so this was when we were up at Stone Lake and there's no electricity. So he had no way to run a boot dryer. So, but still with those, you could pull the liner out and dry them. Whereas my hunting type boots by day two had so much sweat built up inside of them. There was no way to dry them out, yep, and there was no way to keep my feet dry. That's another thing. So if your feet are getting cold and you know you have a good pair of boots, are you drying those boots every night or have a way to dry them? So using those plug-in boot dryers.
Yep. And I've had a portable version, which I can't find, but, mm-hmm, but the common thread on both of those things is dry feet.
Yeah. So it's thinking about, are my feet getting wet? And if they are, it's not that you stepped in a hole like you do.
I do step in holes sometimes. It's happened.
It's your feet sweat.
They don't let me have a 10-inch hole, only an 8-inch hole, so I don't fall through.
Yeah. And feet sweat. I mean, they'd even do in tennis shoes. That's why your kid's room smells like a gym. Not your kid, but kids in general. Speaking generally of children. And their feet stink, and that's because they sweat.
And they don't change their socks.
And they don't change their socks every day, so their feet just stink. Having the boots with liners, I think if you have a multi-day trip, or having access to a boot dryer and drying your boots every single night is a huge deal in keeping your feet dry.
And extra socks to change. I might put an extra pair of socks in my bring us out with next weekend.
Yep.
Because I do get cold feet.
And you always put those toasty toes in the morning right away.
I do.
And you do that. And your feet sweat quite a bit because you put them in. And then you're usually walking at that point, moving around a lot. So now your feet are really sweating. And you're thinking, oh, my feet are so warm. And then you stop moving and they quit. Toasty toes stop and your feet get cold.
Yes, yes.
Because those toasty toes will not keep you warm if your feet are wet.
Yeah.
They never cut through that dampness.
Yep. So, I do love those toasty toes, though.
So should we talk about socks a little bit? Like what kind of socks?
Yeah, because that's an interesting thing. Let's hear about socks. I have a theory on what kind of socks, but
I like to wear a wool blend sock.
Okay.
I have not had as good of luck with just a pure. I have a couple pairs of pure synthetic type socks,
like and those, polypropylene, or something like that.
But they're good. The Cabela's Outfitter type ones, and they're pretty thick. But my feet are never as warm in those as they are in like a wool blend or a wool sock. So a wool sock with sometimes if it's super cold, I use like a real thin cotton sock as a liner.
Yep.
But usually that wool sock.
Okay. So wool blend like the smart wool. I've seen the smart wool.
Smart wool's okay. But you want a good quality wool sock. And I've been trying to experiment with some cheaper wool socks because socks are kind of getting crazy.
Yeah.
Like $25 a pair for a pair of socks. Oof. $20 a pair.
The one thing that I always make sure to, and I struggle with the type of sock because I've got those kind of, I call them cheaper kind of cottony ones, but they're thick. And I have some that are thinner in certain areas, so they compress in the right spaces. But one thing I've found is, if you do get a sock, make sure your boots are big enough. You
need space
in there. Because if you get the super thickest sock you can, but you're jamming them in there because your boots don't fit right, there's no space and your feet will get cold.
Insulation in general is always about loft. It's about how much air space does that garment trap that your body warms and then helps keep you warm. So anytime you compress that, you lose the loft and you get cold.
Right.
So yeah, when you go to get your boots, you need to wear big socks. And then there's another thing I figured out, and this is a hard thing for us.
Just
guys.
One more.
Well, there's a bunch of these.
Okay.
I mean, it's like a journey to, over a lifetime to figure out how to keep yourself warm. And is your feet get bigger as you get older? Did you know this?
I didn't know this.
You didn't know this?
Is this medically proven?
It is.
Okay.
So in men in particular, I think, I don't know as much about women, but men, clearly, I don't know much about
that. Yeah, we know just that. That's been established.
My wife, she'll tell you. Is that your feet start to flatten.
Okay.
So you go up about half a size.
somewhere between that mid to late 20s to 30s, you okay. gain a half a size. So if you had a pair of boots that fit, and you're like, oh, these boots have always fit. Yep. And then now your yep. feet, so now you have less room for those socks.
Wow.
Yeah, so you didn't know that. You got to get a new pair of boots when you turn 30. That's my recommendation.
So I do know from a female perspective, my wife has told me that when you have, or you're pregnant and have children, I do believe sometimes your feet do grow. I believe that is a
thing. Swell, I think.
I don't know.
I think we better back okay. away from this.
Let's just establish we don't know what we're talking about in this area and move on.
Well, I'd like to make more comments.
Jack,
about socks.
Jack, what do you think about socks? Let's help me. Save me from this conversation.
So here's an interesting thing about the modern sock is that the compression of the top of the sock that's supposed to grip around your calf has been made smaller with the modern socks, and that stops your circulation.
Oh.
Huh, never thought of that.
So when you're talking about buying a size sock, you might want to think about getting a size bigger. The modern socks don't tend to stretch out on the top where it grips your calf.
Okay.
And so they tend to stay quite a bit tighter and restrict your circulation.
What I hate are those ones, though, that crawl down your leg and then they're in the bottom of your boot by the end of the day.
Yep.
Really what you're saying is... you need, like, lingerie socks. Like,
what?
Suspenders on your
sock garters? No.
No, I believe they actually did that, like, in the 1920s. They had
yes.
suspenders.
So we need, like,
dress socks.
Should we sell that as a thing on our website? Like, sock garters?
Oh, sock suspenders. So you could get a sock that loosely fits your leg because you don't have the elastic, and then you're going to have some...
A garter
to pull it up to keep them up, and then you don't have the slippage, Jason.
I would like all of our listeners to send Jeff pictures of their sock garter.
I will post at least one
send
if it's
Jeff.
If it's tasteful. No, he's our got... media director has to have those.
Delete.
No.
And of course, it'll have to have the Hard Water logo on.
Oh yes,
Hard Water logo. Yes. Thank you. Yeah,
Hard Water logo.
Thanks for the plug. I appreciate that. Oh, all right, my. So let's see. We've covered.
Sock garters.
We've covered loft in your socks, making sure that you have enough space, getting new boots when you turn 30 because your feet got bigger.
Have we talked about electric socks?
Electric socks. Dad, you've done some electric socks over the years. Have they ever worked for you?
No.
No.
Again, they'll feel comfortable for a while, and then you'll have the feet sweat problem.
Sure.
Same as with your toasty toes and all that stuff. As uncomfortable as it seems, is changing your socks in the middle of the day. You're out there and it's 20 below and it's just miserable. But taking those wet socks off, putting on the dry socks, you're just going to feel so much better.
I hate doing it because you're also all dressed up in that gear and so you can hardly get to your feet in the first place. But you always feel better when you've done it. I do agree with that.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to start doing that right now.
Well, you're not even wearing socks. You're wearing socks on. Jeez.
So we did. The one thing I would say about boots is I have two. Well, I have more than two boots, but I have two pairs of boots. I have these Kamiks my kids always bought these Kamiks, right?
Because they're cheap.
They work pretty good.
Yeah.
And with kids, and we're kind of going a different direction here, but with kids, you know, they don't always tell you when they're cold, right?
No.
So they're not going to go, hey, my toes are cold or I'm cold. So when my kids were a little younger, I mean, they're still not going to tell me this, but. I bought a pair of Kamiks for adults because I didn't know they sold them. You know, I always bought these Kamiks for little kids, and they're kind of like moon boots from the 80s, but just upgraded, right? You just slip them on. They have a Velcro thing. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing I like about those, I have a pair of those, and they're like my runabouts. They're not going to keep my feet warm when we're out all day, but I can slip them on and off because mm-hmm. my pack boots, I mean, I think when we go ice fishing in the morning, half the time is spent lacing up your pack boots, right? Like, yep. I mean, you stick your foot in there. You got like 25 loops and a thing that's super long, you know, infomercial time, and you're like, you know, can't get it done. So I have two pairs of boots, one that are kind of lighter weight for short trips, or maybe if I'm in my ice shack and I need to run out, and then I have the pack boots that are, you know, more permanent, because mine are so big I can't drive my car with those pack boots on.
Yeah.
That's just a reinvention of the 5-buckle overshoe.
I don't know what's the $5 Alder shoe.
They used to call them, the old folks always call them rubbers. Go get your rubbers on, and all the kids giggle.
Well, rubbers was just to cover your dress shoe. Five buckles go up your calf like your
okay,
whatever you call those things Kamex. That you're using. Yep. Kamex, the modern style. They're five buckle over shoes. You find them all over in Iowa. Farmers know them quite well.
Oh, they wear them all over because they kick them on and off when they come in into the house. They can kick them off.
Yep.
And they just put them over your work boots.
Yep.
Yeah. So they wouldn't get a separate pair of boots. They'd get the cheap rubber boots.
Yep.
Cool.
You don't see them as much as you used to, but they're still out there.
Yeah.
Jason, talk about materials. I don't think we need to talk about brands specifically. I mentioned Kamex, but that was just because of it's a style. I think Kamex are so common. They're like Kleenex, mm-hmm. right? Everybody knows what they are. What materials do you look at? You want them waterproof. Like, you want them thick. The two big things I think of is, like, Gore-Tex and also Thin Slate.
Yeah, the Gore-Tex, the Thin Slate. A lot of the pack boots will have a wool liner.
Right.
There'll be a wool-type felt wool liner that go inside those pack boots. You know, so often we get into slush and other stuff where you're just literally standing in water when you're ice fishing that I think... sometimes even a rubber boot or a boot that has the bottom third rubber at least is a necessity for ice fishing.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of those big Cabela's Outfitter pack boots.
I've got a pair of those
and
too.
And those things, your feet stay warm.
Yeah.
And they've got like 3 inches. I am like really tall when I wear those.
Yep. I got a pair too.
There's like 3 inches of insulation in the bottom of them, but they're so heavy.
Yes.
And so that's what I think we talked about the last show. I bought a new pair of boots, so I'll be able to give a better review on that after we go to Canada. There's a lot of rubber boots out there now that for hunting that can also be used for ice fishing, the lacrosses, and there's a whole bunch of other ones out there. The muck boots are really popular. Yep. They have the neoprene.
They have some insulation in them now, mm-hmm. right? Because that's why I always thought those ones weren't super great. They were waterproof, but the insulation was kind of, to me, didn't look there compared to like a pack boot.
Yep. Yeah, so a lot of them are insulated. Lacrosse makes a 1,000-gram insulate rubber hunting boot. A lot of those don't have liners in them.
Yes.
A lot of those types of boots.
So they have
the
pack boot problem of how do you get them
dry
once they get wet.
How do you get them dry once they get wet?
And they don't breathe because they're rubber.
They do not. So the rubber boots probably get... Well, and I don't know how much some of these other ones really breathe either. You know,
Gore-Tex breathes.
That's what they say. But then you shove it inside a leather boot, and does it?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I suppose the science says... You know, when they put breathable on the label, how much breathing does it need to do to be breathable?
Yeah, is it a straw or is it a...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Really breathing.
You know, so I don't know. I think it doesn't matter what you wear, your feet are going to get wet. You have to attend to that drying.
Totally agree. Yeah, no matter... You can buy the best tech stuff or the most classic things like wool that keep them dry. They're still going to get wet. You still need to change your socks. Yep. And I can't believe I didn't know this until today.
So also ice fishing, I think what makes a big difference is people are using, and you see this on Trick Your Trap and that kind of stuff, is people use those little foam, play pads.
Yep.
They're what do they call? They put them, you can put them together like a puzzle.
Like anti-fatigue.
They're real lightweight foam.
Yep.
And so just putting something between your foot and the ice in your ice shack, you're going to be there for a while.
So you can buy those for like less than $5 at some stores.
And you don't need the whole floor, but just where your feet go.
Yeah, I mean, those are super cheap. I have one in my work area in the basement because it's a concrete floor and your feet get cold.
Do you have anything other else you'd say about keeping your feet dry?
Just the two subjects are contradictory to each other. The one is you want your boots to be waterproof.
Yep.
The next thing you're talking about breathable.
Well,
breathable and waterproof, they don't go together.
No, and I would agree. I think any of your leather-type hunting boots, eventually, if you're standing in water, are going to get water in them. Yep. They're just not really made for ice fishing.
Well, that's the Gore-Tex promise, is it's supposed to go one way and not the other, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it does. I mean...
And it wears out, though.
It wears out. The Gore-Tex compresses. And so I think, like, if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I have $100 to buy boots or $150 to buy boots... Or even less, going with a pack boot that you can pull a liner out is going to serve you for ice fishing. And if it's halfway decent quality, it's going to last you for years ice fishing. Because you're not walking the miles like you do in a hunting boot. And so if your ice fishing specific boot need pack boot or a rubber boot that has a liner to it that you can pull out dry. And even those Kamek
Yep.
My kiddo's got one of the pair of those. It's got a liner in it.
Yep.
And that's, he's used that for deer hunting and for ice fishing and for everything for years now. Last couple years and has a ton of miles on them and they hold up. I think they were like $50.
Yep.
I mean, so you don't have to spend even $100 necessarily to get a pair of boots that's serviceable for ice fishing.
Yep. I agree. All right. So I think, you know, we could probably talk more about keeping our feet warm, but I think that covers it. And, you know, if anybody like me just takes away, bring an extra pair of socks. No matter your $50 boots or your $500
Absolutely.
Boots, bring an extra pair of socks. All right. Today for our legend, Jack, Jason's dad, is going to talk about this fishing memory.
Oh, gee, fishing memory. Okay.
Ice fishing.
One
of my ice fishing memories was I was going to take a good friend's friend of my wife's ice fishing, male friend, her best friend's husband. And we were going to go ice fishing up in northern Minnesota. And this was a lot of years ago, over 20. And, of course, the gear is not the best, and I didn't have the high-tech equipment that we have nowadays. So you talk about boots and stuff like that. Well, I had straight leather boots, unlined, no insulation, wool socks.
This is more than over 20 years ago. Don't we need to add another 20 to that?
Okay, probably 25. But
hey, I'm in my 40s, just so you know.
Yeah, drive an old car, probably a $500 car. 30 below, probably when we left that morning for this trip up a couple hundred miles from Duluth. Maybe less than that, actually. 130 miles from Duluth, up the North Country.
Is there 130 miles to Canada from Duluth?
That's 168, I think.
Okay. So somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, yeah. Around the towns of Tofty, Schroeder, Elton, but close to BWCA. So big idea is to go ice fishing. So loaded up the meager ice fishing gear that I had, and got up there, and of course, we're just driving a two-wheel drive car, and so we have to park on the road. You can't bust any snow drifts down with a two-wheel drive car. And well, we proceeded to walk out onto the lake, and that would have been about, three-quarter of a mile. Snowshoes, no snow machines like that kind of stuff, nothing high-tech. And get all our gear, trudge through the snow, get out there. And of course, I want to go to a little bit farther island to off a point to go fishing and get over there and start drilling the hole. Remember, it started out 30 below, so it was up to a good 20 below.
Warm. It was getting balmy.
Woo! You wore socks, though, not Crocs. In this.
Yeah. Cotton socks, probably.
Yeah.
Start drilling this hole, and real high-tech ice auger called a spoon or a dish.
Was that the one you had when we were a kid?
I think that's the one you still have in your garage.
Do I have in one of my garage?
I believe you do.
Huh. Maybe.
I've got to bring this thing out. I got to see how this works.
It's got a blue still paint on it.
You need to bring that. We need to record it working. I've never seen one working.
Anyway, move on with your story.
That's my memory.
Yeah, you're. I don't have that.
So we start taking turns drilling with this spoon ice auger. It's a manual auger. No propane, battery, gas. But we don't have to worry about running out of energy. And you stayed warm. So we drilling. And, started getting a little close to the snow, so we had clear some snow around the ice and drill some more and take turns and have a snack at the same time.
We had a snack in the middle of drilling a hole, so this is not a small endeavor. Yeah,
probably 20, 30 minutes into digging one hole. And,
wow.
Well, make a long story short, we get down to the crossbars on the ice auger, and we hadn't hit water yet. And of course, no extension, because I'm too cheap to buy an extension. So we pack everything up and trudge the 3/4 mile back to the car, and luckily the car starts, and that was the end of the fishing trip.
So did this guy ever go fishing with you again?
No.
That's awesome. I remember that spoon auger because that was actually the one I remember using when we were a kid. It was just a, you know, it's a blue spoon. It looks like if you took a a cereal bowl and turned it on the side and sharpened an edge. That's
the auger. That's what they did.
That's what World War II surplus. Yeah, World War II surplus bowls.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's a great. I hadn't heard that story before today, so that's awesome. that was a good story. Well, Jeff.
Yeah, it was a great show. We're on site, on the ice, fishing while we're podcasting. It's a first in many places.
And we did not catch a fish.
We did not catch a fish.
No. Well, I want to thank you, Jeff, for having us up this weekend in the ice shack. This is sure. I could get used to this.
Yeah, me too.
Go ahead, Dad.
I could get used to the guided part.
Yeah, well, you just show up and the heat's on and it's ready to roll. Yeah. Well, so the trick is just to drive slow, which you're good at.
I am. Exceptionally.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Cheers.
Tight lines.
Five. You've been listening to the Hard Water Fishing Show with Jeff and Jason.
Say goodbye.
One of the most unique podcasts on the planet, where we talk about tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. We'll be back soon.
Bye-bye.
Till then, signing off.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.